The third of the parasha of Vayera comes from Sefer Melachim Bet, chapter 4. There are 37 psukim in the Haftarah. And the Haftarah contains two stories. The first seven psukim are story one. The next 30 psukim are the second story. Now, as we usually do, we're going to take a brief look at what are clearly the obvious reasons why the Haftarah was chosen for Parsha Vayera. It's so obvious. You have your sheets in front of you. The second story, we're talking about a great woman from Shunem. And the Navi Elisha, both stories are about the prophet Elisha. At this point in Sefer Melachim, what's being done is all the miracles that were performed by Elisha, who was the great student of Eliyahu HaNavi, all of those miracles are listed in order. The fact is that Eliyahu in his lifetime, which goes on into eternity, he performed 8 miracles. And then Eliyahu is taken heavenward. Elisha asks, give me a double portion of your greatness. And he did. So therefore, if Eliyahu performed 8 miracles, Elisha is going to perform 16. And they list the 16. And Haftarah is 2 of those 16. The second one, as we said, is talking about a great woman from a place called Shunem. Does anybody know where Shunem is? Anybody know where Shunem is? I know you wouldn't know. Why did I ask you to get all excited so you listen to me? I have a son and daughter-in-law and 6 aunts that live in a place called Givat HaMoreh, which is the site of one of the last battles of Shaul. Givat HaMoreh is part of Greater Afula, not too far from Jenin. It is at the eastern end of Emek Yisrael. You go north, so now of course you go north by taking Kvishesh, new highway, understand? We finally made it, like all the big countries of the world, the rich countries. You have a toll road, you go along Kvishesh, you come to the very end of Kvishesh, and you turn right. Turning right is the way to Afula and to Tveria. Now, from Givat HaMoreh, which is the heights of Afula, the Shunan Afula, you have one of the most awesome views in the country. You see all of Emek Yisrael nearly to the coast. I don't know how many kilometers winding there before. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. About 2 kilometers from Givat HaMoreh is Shunem. That's all. First of all, that was a commercial. My son runs a major yeshiva, a day school, a kollel, an organization, a youth organization. He runs adult education programs, doing great things in Afula. And he lives in Givat HaMoreh. He moved with his family into a completely Shiloni neighborhood. It's not as Shiloni as it used to be. All right, okay, so we got that. What I really mean
is
that these places in Tanakh are living places. Now I've got to stop here before I start talking about Shimshon HaGibor carrying the gates of Aza on his back, you know, and a number of other things we can say about Tanakh, whatever. All that we can do is we should be dispelled. That Chodol Imeinu Aleh Hashalom, that today is her Yatzayim, should have Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. She is Mevaka Al Boneha. She cries for her children, and I'll tell you the truth, sometimes she cries about her children. That is Shekindalah. So, somehow or other, I think she says, she's telling us, take it easy. Don't worry. Lonely yet will not be. Okay. Anyway, here's this great woman from Shunan. And she doesn't have a child. So Elisha blesses her. In Pasuk 16, he says, Vayomer, he said, Lamoi Hazeh. At this season, Ka'eh Chayot, next year we will be alive. We're going to hold a son. What does the angel say to Sarah? Ka'eh Chayot. Well, the Sarah, okay? I mean, such amazing similarity. The next pasuk over here says, "My time in each other ten, she became pregnant, she gave birth then." Lamoi hazeh ka'eh chayah, same time as Elisha had said. Clear similarity in text between the Sedra and the Haftarah. There's another clear similarity. You can go through as much as we can of Haftarah, you can see there are doors opening and doors closing, and people closing the door behind them. And we have some of this here at the beginning of the Sefer Avraham sitting by the opening, Pepach, the opening of his head. Sarah is standing behind the door of the tent. The Malachim come to Sodom. And the city is surrounded by all the evil people of Sodom, and Lot goes out to speak to the people who want to harm his guests, and they bring him into the house, and they close the door behind him. You're going to watch the door closing a number of times during the course of that story. But all right, there's so much more. So let's begin with story number one. And I'll tell you in advance what my problem is with story number one. All of our relationships to the Sedra we found in story number two. The woman who doesn't have a child. The mother promises her child. She has a child. By the way, what's also significant, of course, is at some point the child dies. And the mother goes running to Elisha, who is by Ha'akaro. You understand? She has to cross Enek Yisrael from Afua until she gets to Elisha. And Elisha comes back with her in order to revive or resuscitate the child, or even Tiyat HaMetim to bring the child back to life. So all of the real connections, it can seem to be obvious connections, between the Haftarah and the Sedra and the second story. The child is going to die. Child is going to be brought back to life. By the way, I think that that's a very significant relationship between the Sedra and the Haftarah. Avraham Avinu also loses a child, and the child is returned in. The same child at the beginning of the Sedra said that Sarah is going to give birth to, when the Levitical says, take your one and only son Yitzchak and bring him as a sacrifice for all intents and purposes, the die is cast. And as Avraham is ready to bring the knife down upon Yitzchak's throat, as far as Avraham is concerned, the deed is done. He has already resigned himself to the loss of his child. And then the angel stays the hand of Avraham Avinu, and it is as though he receives a new child all over again. I have a feeling that there is nothing to compare to the love that a parent has for a child that they thought lost and then regained. We will describe the woman taking her child, who's been brought back to life by Elisha, from Elisha's room. You have this feeling that there is such joy and there is such happiness, just as Avraham leaves Haralia. So as I'm saying, the clear relationships between the Sedra and Haftarah are right there in story number two. Story number two is 30 Pesukim. What do we need story number one for? Why didn't Haftarah start with story two? Let's read story one. Get to know it a little better. Seven Sukkim.
به ایشا خط منشه به نه همه به اون ساکوه اون ایشا لیمان A woman who was one of the wives of the sons of the prophets, the students, cried out to Elisha saying, Abdecha Ishi Meit, my husband, your servant, is dead. Ba'ati Adaba. And you know, Ki Abdecha Hadar Vareyat Hashem, you know that your servant feared God. And the creditor has come The creditor has come to take my two sons unto him as slaves. It's amazing how much information can be recorded in one pasuk in Torah. Not only how much information can be given, but also how much information can be alluded to. We don't know who the woman is. We don't know who her husband was. We don't know who the creditor is. And you know we're going to find out all the information. And clue number one is going to be, and here you will see already a relationship to the Sefer in this puzzle. Her husband was a prophet. He's dead. The creditor has come in order to take my children away. He died owing a lot of money. And you know, that my husband was God-fearing. The Medrash says there are four people who were called God-fearing. In all of Tanakh, four people are called God-fearing. One, Avram, at the end of the Akedah, God says, Atah Yodati, now I know, Ki Yirei Elkim Atah. Do you hear that passage? God says, now I know that you are God-fearing. Isn't it so similar to what she says over here to Elisha? Atah Yodati, you know. By the way, the Atah Yodati at the end of the Akedah is Atah with an ayin. Now I know. Here she's saying, you know. So Avram is a Yorei Hashem. Who knows is Yorei Hashem? It says about Yosef. He cannot do what she wants because he is Yorei Elohim. He fears God. There was an Ish town of Yosha Yorei Elohim in the land of Uz whose name was Eov. Eov was Yorei Elohim. And the fourth, there's another person in Tanakh who's called Yirei Elokim. His name is Ovadia. Ovadia is one of the 10 minor prophets. Because it's called minor prophets doesn't mean that the prophets were minor. It only means that the amount of their writings may have been minor, but they weren't minor at all. Ovadia was Yirei Elokim. He's referred to a few times as Yirei Hashem. Aha, so now we know already. We know already who the husband is. Why does Obadiah leave his wife with debts that have to be repaid? Because he was a prophet in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab, Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel had decided that they wanted to destroy all of the prophets of God. Obadiah happened to be in charge of the house his job was. He had a profession. He was in charge of the house of Ahab, in charge of the palace. It's not a simple thing to run a palace. He ran the palace. He hid 100 prophets, 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave, and he provided them with food until he ran out of money and he borrowed money. What's most fascinating is, I think someplace it says that the food came from the kitchens of Ahav. The Galatian has such a sense of humor. You understand. The same Ahav and Izeho who want to destroy all the prophets are the ones that are keeping the prophets alive. But Obadiah doesn't steal. Obadiah pays for everything he takes. I don't know how he writes it down. I'm sure he doesn't write down in the books, you know, so much and so much money for the food for the prophets. That would have destroyed everything. Who does he borrow money from when he runs out of money? Yehoram, the son of Ahab. Yeah, do you understand? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. This is this can only happen, you know, in current events. Everybody's betraying everybody else. Everybody's betraying everybody else. And the only good guy is Avraham. The young man over there, the son of Jacob, who's a Russia like his father, he's a chip off the old block. Yarov and Achav, that apple didn't fall terribly far from the tree of Achav. Yarov and Achav, it says later, Elisha is going to prophesy that Yarov and Achav is going to be killed. And you know where he's going to be killed? An arrow is going to go through his arm and into his heart. And Rashi brings it from Chazal. His hand, he charged Ovadia interest. I don't know who charged interest because he's referred to as Anoshe, the creditor. The creditor who took Neshach. Because the hand that took interest and the heart that was so hard, you understand? You want to know his evil? He's ready to take the children of Ovadia, who's now dead, and they're going to be paying. He'll sell them into slavery to pay for those debts. I have a feeling, could be, that this first story is part of our Torah, so that we should never learn this Seder and make the mistake of thinking that the kind of evil of Sodom and Amorah to us, it'll never happen. We get this feeling, we read about the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, we think, oh, I'm okay, you're okay, they aren't okay. The Navi wants to tell us, Chazal wants to tell us, be very, very careful that you don't become Sodom like yourself. It means, therefore, a country has to be concerned about the poor. A country has to be concerned about mishpachot, b'ruchot yeladim. A country has to make certain that single parents are able to survive. If there are segments of the community, that are not being provided for, then there's enough medical attention in the country. Anything that should be done and isn't done, we're skirting the outer edges of Sodom. So don't think that, well, Sodom was, and maybe there were a bunch of gunmen, but that doesn't have anything to do with us. Here, the Navi continues to tell us the story of a Melech Yisrael, that said, a Melech Yisrael. So you can tell me something, was an evil Melech. So what? So there's an evil Melech. Do you hear anybody demonstrating against the Melech in the streets? Do you hear anybody crying out because of the Melech? I'm even troubled. Well, let's see what she says to Elisha and what he's going to do. By going to Elisha, Elisha said to him, what should I do for you? I keep you, tell me, my yesh log babayit, what do you have in the house? And I want you to notice, the word that is read, log, is written, lamin chav yud, lechi. Log, but it's written lechi. I haven't found anybody who has explained it, and there are going to be three other words like this very soon, and I haven't found anybody yet who has interpreted its meaning, and I think I may have it. I may have it. But you know, they said, Elisha. Elisha said to him, what shall I do for you? Hakibili, my Geshwa Babayit, what do you have in the house? But told me, she said, Enishif, Chachor Kol Babayit, your maidservant has nothing in the house. Ki'im Asuch Shem. Asuch Shem means she has a little jar and there's a little smear of oil in it. If you put your finger in it, it may get a little wet with oil. That's all that's left for the house. Very little.
That some say that the word asur means a little jar, but Muslims want to say it's just a little smidgen. A smear, alright? Of oil. Vayama, so he said to Lichi, Shalilach, Kinna, Akuz, go out and borrow vessels from outside the house. May call Shechinoyah from all of your neighbors. Shechinoyah is written Shechinoyah, just like that Lichi, extra words. Kelim Lechim, get empty, Kelim Al Tamiti. Don't let it be small, don't just get as many as you can. To part you should come, and close the door behind you. Shades of the angels in Sodom, they close the door. Ubaabanayat, close the door, and you will be behind the door, you and your children. We are sakar kawakilim, and you should pour unto all of the kelim, or all of these vessels. And if the one is filled, move away the full one. The woman left, went away from the Elishon. She went into the house and she closed the door behind her. And behind the children. They give her a room, the hymnal socket, and she's pouring. But he came to pass. When all the kelim were full, by Tomer Adilon, she said to her son, Hakisha Eli Old Kelly, give me another vessel. By Yomer Eli said to her, Ain Old Kelly, there are no more. By Darul Hashonen. And the oil stopped flowing. By Togorah Tagay Mishal the king, she came and she told the men of God, by Yomer he said, Lachim Nichliat Hashemen, go sell the oil. And the question is, why did she go to him? The Medrash asks, why did she have to go to the to Elisha? Didn't she understand what was happening? So it seems she asked her Targum Asher. It must have been a period of time in which barrels of oil, the price of barrels of oil was rising. Says Hashem Hayami Yakir, the Shemen was getting more valuable. So she wanted to know, should she sell now, or should she save it until the price goes up and then everyone knows what to
do?
So it says about Targum Yishmael, the king, by all he said, L'chim Nichliat Hashem, go sell. Sell now. L'shami et Nishyech, and pay Nishyech, your creditors, written Nishyechi, Ba'ach U'banayach, written Barnaichi, you and your sons, Tichyi Banotar, you will be able to live with what's left. You'll be able to sell, pay off all of the oil debts, and then you'll be able to live. And there's a Midrasha that say that that world continued like it was the awesome Nes Parashanim. They would pour oil out of the jar, and it would remain full. It would remain full. She was taken care of. She was taken care of. What are these Lachi, Banachi, Nishaychi, Shnei, Shainaychi, your sons, your neighbors? My gosh, Lachi, what do you have in the house? So I say, on the basis of something I said years ago, whenever, and it's based on a Ksav HaKabbal in Parashat B'Shalach, I'm not going to go into it now, I'll just tell you that it is where he talks about the eight strange words in Oz Yashir. There are eight strange words. To the Amo, Tito Amo, there are eight words. If he wants to say bring them to Eretz, so to the Amo, plant them in Eretz, so Tito Amo. You'll say Oz Yashir next time, you're going to see eight words. Strange structure. Bechasro Beit Hashem B'Tocheichi Yerushalayim. Why not B'Tocheich? What's B'Tocheichi? I'm really behind over here, Clara Smart, but I'll tell you. Ksav HaKabbalah says that it represents two words. You put two words together and you get one of these strange words. Let's take the word Magesh Lach Babayit. What do you denote as, so what do you have in the house? How is it written? Magesh Lachi Babayit. Let's take the word Lachi and turn it into two words. Lach, what do you have? And you know what other word is in there? Li. God is saying, whatever you have in the house is mine. And from that, great things will come. Bonai, don't think that they're just bonai. They're bonai. They're my children too. Nishyaihi, your creditors, don't think that they're just nishyaih, your creditors. They're nishyai. They are my creditors. Shkeinaihi, they're not only Shkeinaih, they're Shkeinai. God is in concealment over here. God appears in the spelling. He's not there in the reading or the vocalization, but he's behind the scenes, meaning if you read the text carefully, you'll see God in the text. That asur shema, that little smear of shema that you have in the house, not only yours, it's mine. Magesh loch babai, magesh li babai. Because thou learn from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings bracha, all blessing has to have something upon which it can descend. We learn a halacha from here. The halacha that we learn from here is that when you bench, there should be a piece of bread on the table. You have to have a little piece of bread. Something has to be there. So that the bracha from above should be able to descend upon something real, something that you can feel and that you can touch, something that is concrete. The itaruta bile'ela, the awakening from above, has to have find something that is there in which it can take hold. Right, it's a nice story. No question, it's a nice story. But why is this the part of Haftorah? I mean, we're going to find a lot of relationships between the Sefer and Haftorah also in the second story, which is going to be 30 psukim. And we said that you need at least 21 psukim to have a Haftorah. So I found something very fascinating where two great minds, in a certain sense, think alike. Two great minds. Rav Kook writes the following. Beginning of the Sefer, it says that Avraham Avinu was looking out and he sees, behold, there are three men standing there. They're men, and we know that they're angels. Avraham Avinu doesn't know that they're angels. By the way, that's a fascinating Rashi. One of the Rashis I'm going to have to study this week. It says, after they leave, Avraham Holeich Imam, Avraham is going with it, after the whole story. So Rashi over there says that Avraham is accompanying them because he thought that they were human beings. So you accompany human beings. I look at the Rashi on the bus coming back from Kiyar, and I turn to my wife and I say, what's going on over here? What's Rashi talking about over here? Avraham had spent the whole morning by him in the house, and he didn't figure out that they're malacha. In last week's Sefer, it says that four malachim came to Hagar, and she didn't get shook up because she was so acquainted and comfortable with malachim, because they were all over Avraham's house. So when you hear these malachim come and tell him that his wife is going to have a child, Ka'eb Chayah, Ulasara Ben, next year, this time, Sarah's going to have a child. And he still thinks that after it's all over, he thinks that they're halal, they're human beings, and he has to accompany them. The only answer I was able to come up with on the bus is, Avraham Avinu was acquainted with the ones with the wings. The ones who were flying around the house all the time. He was acquainted with real, honest-to-goodness malachim. But malachim, who talk like human beings,
And eat like human beings, when I put the appetite down the stead, I can have a flesh and a meal on a hot day like that. And he wasn't accustomed to middle serving shalai right now. That has nothing to do with the Hoshea. That has nothing to do with anything. It says here are three people, there are three, what this Rashi says, Echod Lubasir and Sora, one of them came to tell Sora she's going to have a child. Echod Lerapot and Abraham, one of them came to heal Abram. It was the third day after the circumcision. The Echod Lerapot and Sodom, and one of them came to destroy Sodom. So the cook asks, the one who came to destroy Sodom, why does he stop over the house of Abram? He should go straight. He should go straight to Sodom. What is he doing here? So Rav Kook says the following. Rav Kook says very beautifully. He says, in Torah it doesn't say what was the sin of Sodom. Does it say anything? It says they were rolling the Chatoyim. When the Malach finally is going to come there, then for the first time we're going to hear about a city that surrounds the house. They want that they should send out the people who've come there. All we have is a prophet in Yechezkel. He named Zechariah Abram and Sodom Achotech. The sin of Sodom, your sister, was Gaon. Gaon means great pride. Sveat Lechem, sated with bread. Great prosperity. Bishalvat Hashkeit Hayala. There was no terror. There was peace and tranquility for her and all the cities around her. They didn't support or assist the poor and the penniless. So Yechezkel gives us a description of great prosperity and poverty. And the prosperous didn't do anything. We don't see it in Torah. So the book asks, so they didn't know about tzedakah. They didn't know about tzedakah. I don't know, the Torah wasn't giving it, there wasn't the mitzvah of tzedakah. If they never heard about pasach, tiftach eskyoch, holding up your hand to the poor and the penniless. So he says, this is funny shit, you know, something that shook me up, both are cooked, and the same idea is being expressed by the Chav. You know what the Rebbeinu wants? You have to watch me that I don't go off on a tangent. I can't help it. You'll see right away where I can't help it. I'm having a difficult time. Rav Kook says, he wanted the Malach who's going to destroy Sodom to come first to the house of Avraham. You know what you're going to see in the house of Avraham? Tzedakah, chesed, achmas hasorachim, kindness, profound concern for a fellow human being. That the next door neighbor is Sodom and Gomorrah. As long as there was not one of being in the world, one could possibly justify Sodom and Gomorrah. But the moment there's not one of being in the world who is the pillar of kindness, and all they had to do is look next door, they all knew about it. The man with a house that's open with four doors on all four sides, a whole world knew about on top of him. And then next door, and they didn't know, he wants the Malach who's going to destroy Sodom to know you're justified in doing it. Don't think you're unjustified. The God writes, Rasal Rechik is going to come to the same conclusion, but he writes something again. I wrote a hurried note over there. Gabriel is the angel who's supposed to destroy stones. The law writes, Shalomoye Rafa Hamala Gabriel Lahaklit Mahanishet Sodom. The prophet Gabriel couldn't decide to punish Sodom until he first saw the house of Abominio, a house that extends good to all. What's the Rav talking about? Is there a possibility that Gabriel was thinking of disobeying God's orders? Simeon Pikuda. God sends him to destroy Sodom. And Gabriel hasn't decided what he's going to do. Is it possible that some rabbi told Gabriel, listen, if you think that this is an unjust decision about Saul, don't do it. That's what the law writes. The Levitical had to make sure that Gabriel realizes that what he's going to do is absolutely just. You don't just stand giving orders. The ones whom orders are given must be fully convinced that the orders are just. And if there's any doubt, if it's possible that he thinks that the orders are unjust, Gabriel is not going to do it. Unbelievable. Could you have ever believed that I would have gotten something like that into this year? I didn't believe it myself. I was sitting upstairs going over this piece of the law for almost probably the 100th time. And then he writes, Gabriel couldn't decide whether to do it. Do you know what it means? Even a Malach has to be convinced of the justice of his position. And therefore, both Rakud and the law say, Gabriel had to come to the house of Avlon. And when he comes to the house of Avlon, then he's going to be able to go and destroy Sodom. I may go to jail for this vote in the law, but it will have been worth it. The law approaches it from a slightly different point of view. There's a Gemara in Numa that says, a person is going to be asked to just study Torah, and he's going to say, I was too poor, I couldn't study Torah. So they're going to tell him, Hillel was so poor he couldn't pay to get into the Beis Medrash, and the famous story, he wants to hear what Shmaya Daftayim are saying, so he lies down on the skylight and the snow covers it. Man says, I couldn't study Torah. I had a lot of money, I had a lot of property, and I had to look after it. So they tell him, Rabbi Lazar was a fabulously wealthy, and he was one of the Torah Akharot. That person would say, listen, well, Rachel, you know, I'm a human being, I'll be Yitzhahada. I said, I'm a Yitzhahada. Oh, it's a great Akharot, and I just could. I know, correct. Yeah, correct. I'm not saying that, right? But I'm a human being, and I have difficulty. So they can tell him, Yosef Hatzari also had to go through terrible, terrible temptations and anxiety. This is one woman, one says, therefore, Hillel Mechayev Etanim. Hillel is the one who condemns the poor. Rebbe Moshe condemns the rich. Yosef Hatzari condemns those who cannot control the Yitzhahara. So he says, Avraham Avinu is the one who condemns Sodom. The man who's going to destroy Sodom has to come to the house of Avraham Avinu first. And when he walks out of the sacred warmth of that home, and he comes to the cold, heartless Sodom, he will understand God's instructions to him fully. Amazing. Too great. Great men, the same approach. The thought with this even explains a Rashi at the beginning of the Sefer. The Rashi at the beginning of the Sefer says, Avram Yoshev, Avram is sitting at the entrance to his tent. The Kechol Hayom, yeah, he hears the tent. So Rashi says, Yoshav, said he sat, and he was sitting in judgment, and from here we learn, God is standing, and he is sitting. From here we know that for us in the future, Elohim Nitzav Badakim, that's the Yom Shlishi. Elohim, God will stand when Klaisor sits in judgment, when Abednego sits in judgment. So the Chovah asks, what kind of judgment is our home sitting? What kind of shayla is he passed in? So he says, you know what kind of shayla is being passed in? A shayla of Pikuach Nefesh. Because Avram, by his very candor, is going to seal the fate of Sodom. He doesn't know, but he's sealing the fate of Sodom. Because Gabriel is going to see the house of Avram, and then he's going to go to Sodom.
I want to say the same thing in the Haftarah. If you want to know why Yonam ben Ahav is going to die the way he dies, just take a look at the house of this woman and then go see Yonam ben Ahav. Look at the suffering he's caused, and then you'll have no difficulty carrying out the order. And it's going to be Elisha who's going to anoint Yehu ben Nimshi, who's going to shoot the arrow that's going to kill Yehoram ben Ahav. Alright. We got to do a little bit of second story, and at least the second story is awesome. The second story is awesome. Let me take a few psukim and we'll make a few comments about it, because there's some amazing psukim here. Look, let's go. Pastor Kenyfai, Hikayom, the day came. We finished story one. The day came, Hikayom, Elisha, Shunem, and Elisha went to Shunem. You already all know exactly where Shunem is. By the way, it's right off Highway 65. 65 due east. Okay? The Shom Elisha Bidola was a great woman there. And she importuned, and that's a good word, that he should eat bread by her. By the way, they are going to gain the best whenever he go through town. Yosra Shom Elisha, he would turn, go to her house to eat. But Tom Elisha, she said to her husband, he named her Yodati, I know he is the king Kadoshim. By the way, here is a pasuk similar to the pasuk at the beginning of the Haftarah, where the wife of Ovadiah says to Elisha, "Apolodato, you know that my servant was Yoreh Hashem," which we related to the pasuk at the end of the sefer, where God says, "I know that you now. I know that you are Yoreh Hashem." Now she says, "Hineno Yodati." There's another pasuk in this sefer. Before God destroys Sodom, he said, I'm going to conceal this from Avram. He is going to be a great nation. I have promised all these lands to him. Ki yedat him, because I know him. L'mam asher yitzav ez bonav ez beis al hakot. He is going to command his children afterwards to keep their Hashem. God is saying, I know that Avram is a great son. And here she says, he named her Yadavi, I know Kiyishu, King Kadashu, overall, and you tell me, this man of God who goes by constantly, he is a holy man. Nasimah, we have Kir Kitana. Let's make a little apartment upstairs for him. The Nasimah Shom will place over there a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Whatever he comes to us, he will turn there. By the way, what do we see over here immediately? Extremely significant relationship to the center. And I thought at this first, until I started going through the Medrash, thought the Medrash figured it out a long time before me. And that would be maybe another reason that you may not have thought about it. Why did Malachim come to the house of Avraham? Chazal say, Bishus, in the Schus of Achnosas Orchim, people are suffer to children. Avraham and Sarah can have a child because of that Achnosas Orchim. This great woman of Shunyamin is going to have a child because of her Achnosas Orchim. Vayi Hayom, again it says, Vayi Hayom, Vayavo Shama, the day came, he came there, Vayosera El Aliyah, Vayishka Shama, he went to his upstairs apartment and he lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Krova Shunamit Hazor, call this Shunamit." Vayikralo, he called her, Tamrodu Farad, and she stood before him. Vayikralo, Kira, great Sukkim. He made, he doesn't speak directly to her, he tells Gehazi to tell her. He made, Kradaratu Eilenu, et kol acharada Hazor. You have sort of trembled. I hear the trembling meaning that you've done all this work for us. You know, they made the room. They put things in. I'm sure she cleaned it. She had the food ready. Now I saw, what can I do for you? Hayeshi daber haramela or sana tzavan? Can I speak to the king or to the commander in chief of the army? And here comes the cryptic answer that is on one of the grapes of the north. That time she said, "Betoch ani anochi yoshev." I live amongst my people. What does she mean? What kind of answer is this? She should have said, "No, thank you. What's this? What's you talking about?" "Betoch ani anochi yoshev, amongst my people, I live." So here is a great Zohar. The Zohar opens up our eyes to understanding this pasuk. "Vayehi hayom," the day came. Hayom? What day? What day? It seems like a special day. The Zohar says, you know what that day was? That day was Rosh Hashanah. At the beginning of Iyov it says, "Vayehi hayom," the day when all the angels are standing before God and Satan comes. You know what that day was? Rosh Hashanah. End of Torah. All of you are standing before God. Rosh Hashanah, Shiftechem, Shiftechem. What day was that? That was Rosh Hashanah. So he turns, Elisha turns to her and he says to him, "On your behalf, O Sar Tzavah, God is the commander in chief of the world." And she tells him, "Betoch ani anochi yoshev." So the Zohar says, she answered him with great wisdom, with great wisdom. You know what she said to him? She said to him, and from here we learn an extremely important idea in Judaism. She tells him, "I'm Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I don't want to be singled out from all the rest of Chanukah. I don't want to be judged together with all. Anybody who's going to attempt to be judged alone or singled out doesn't stand a chance. But if I am connected and plugged into my people, if I am part of Am Yisrael, then I stand a great chance of emerging on Rosh Hashanah with a Tivara Chatimah Tovah." They bring in the name of once told you this, they bring in the name of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Hashem Yikom Damo was the Rosh Yeshiva Baran, which was killed by the Nazis in 1942. So he says that he told the Gaboy, the Yeshiva in Baran, which, "Don't give me an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur." So of course the Yeshiva Baran has to say, "But Rabbi, in Shulchan Aruch it says that a person should try to have an aliyah on the Shom Yom Kippur." So the Elchanan's answer was the answer of the Shunamit. He said the following: "I don't want anybody to say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, 'Yamod Elchanan Bohen V'Av Naftali Benish.' I don't want my name singled out. I'm a commoner on Rosh Hashanah. I'm part of Klal Yisrael. Don't single me out. Only way we stand a chance is by being plugged into the Klal Yisrael." The greater degree to which we are involved in the needs of Klal Yisrael, greater is our schus. You have to be part of the tzibur. You have to be part of the tzibur. You have to bring benefit to the tzibur. A beautiful answer. "Betoch ani anochi yoshev." Elisha, can you imagine? One of the greatest Nevi'im of all time says, "Is there anything I can do for you? I mean, you need a little girl protects you with an evangelism. I got an inside track." And to turn that down. Unbelievable greatness to turn that down. Yes?
That's definitely part of the concept of davening b'tzibur,
and davening in plural for the tzibur, never to daven, I mean, a personal tefillah I can say, in shaleah tefillah I can say, but tefillah as a whole, and you're right, from the Hashem Knesset, I don't have precisely that in mind. The Tochami, I wrote in your shaleah. Betoch ani anochi yoshev. What a beautiful, beautiful response of this one. And sure, I haven't done the job if you do it yourself. where you can find it in the Seder as well. Avraham Avinu was not really the Toch Avi Anochi Yoshaveh. Avraham Avinu is going to create the Am. Avraham Avinu is the one who is involved with others. I mean, that's his great contribution. Everyone's great discovery of God's great contribution is that he is an involved people. He's a people person. Only somebody of that sort could indeed get up and pray for the people of people's tongue. If you think I ever understood, that, you know, and the truth is I've never understood it. So what? So there's something in there I don't understand. I don't understand the greatness of our policy for such hilarious, you understand, for such evil people. But even Avram wasn't the starry-eyed one who just loves everybody. He was asking out that tzaddikim in the city, in the midst of the city, are there people there who can have influence and impact? Are these people completely lost? Or is there some glimmer of hope? Avram knows the difference between good and evil. Look, later in the set, he's going to come to the house of Abimelech. And Abimelech is going to complain afterwards, what are you talking about? Why didn't you tell me that she's the wife? The king really lived with her. So he says, Rak ein yirat elokim b'makom hazeh. There is no fear of God in this place. Avram knows exactly where he is. By the way, that could also be a relationship to the standard. Obadiah was Yirei Hashem. Avram was Yirei Elokim. He knows the difference. And he knows precisely when he finds himself in a place where there is no Yirei Elokim. He's not going to know the end of the story. Vayomer. And he said, what should we do for her? He said, I will tell her in life. She doesn't have a son. The shows are king, and her husband is old. Do I have to tell you that this is classic relationship to the senator? I mean, this is that goes without saying. My younger said, Krola, by Yigrola, he called her. By Tango, by Pedachi, she stood at the door. Aha, I'm gone at the door of the tent. My younger said, Lameda said, this time, Kaim Chaya, Acho Beket Bain. Satome, our Adonai Yeshua came, men of God, don't do that. Don't disappoint. She's afraid something in the Mishnah tells her that this is going to be a gift from which she is going to have agony. By the way, a beautiful way Chazal tell us, we now know something else. Who was the son? You know who the son was? This child that was born and then brought to life again. By the way, there was a child that died that Elio brought back to life. The child that Elio brought back to life was Yonah ben Amittai Hanavi. The child that Elisha brings back to life is the Navi Habakkuk. Achoveket ben. You're going to be Chovek, his son. Habakkuk. Habakkuk Hanavi. And the fact is, if we have the time to go through Habakkuk, who is one of the Nevi'im who challenges God in a most unusual and exceptional manner, he's the one who cries out to God, why is there evil in the world? But then you know what? Now it occurs to me, here's another relationship. One of the great statements of Habakkuk is, Tzadik be'emunato yichyeh. A tzaddik lives with his faith. Who's the first great man in? By Yahameh Bashem, it says, Avraham had faith in God. Tzaddik be'emunato yichyeh. Avraham is the classic tzaddik who lives with his faith. Anyway, he grows up. He dies. She sends for the Navi. The Navi comes. You know, we have to leave something for next time around, 7 years from now. And he brings the child back to life. And a lot of questions that have to be asked over here. Why did the child die? Did the child sin? No. So then you can ask the same question, why must Yitzchak die? Isn't that a
Unless, of course, in the real sense, Yitzchak is not supposed to die. Just as in the real sense, this child is not supposed to die. What it ultimately means, indeed, is most probably Chapakuk is the one who, indeed, in his own life saw Sarek ben Matol Yechiel. You know who has great faith over here? Elisha, when she comes running to him, Elisha sends a servant, and she says, "No, I'm not leaving until you cover me." She trusts only the mother. And that's when the child comes back to life.
Okay, I tell you, I. Okay, yes, Hashem, we cannot understand, you can't learn Kala Torah Kulin in 1 hour. There's so much of it, there's so much, but we've touched upon some of the most significant parts of this Haftarah.